Hello, folks. Thank you for listening to Christ Church at Grow Farm Sermon Podcast. As we enter into Holy Week, we will be hearing messages from our Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and Easter Sunday services. If you would like more information about Christ Church at Grow Farm, or would like to connect with our pastors, staff, or ministry leaders, I would encourage you to visit our website, ccgf.org. Enjoy the messages from this week. Grace and peace to you.
Continue on our Holy Week journey. It's a great week. And my prayer for all of us is that we are becoming even more acquainted with the Lord Jesus as we progress through this week. In the Word, gathering together for worship, considering the teachings of Jesus, considering the life of Christ, the death of Jesus, as well as His resurrection, which we're looking forward to celebrating on Sunday. Tonight, we're going to spend time reflecting upon Jesus' final interactions with His gathered disciples before He goes to the cross. And those final interactions can be very important. I'm guessing that you can think of someone in your life history where you remember their final words to you or your final interaction with them. Maybe it was a grandparent or a parent, a loved one. Do you remember this? You know, as a congregation, we have a memory like this. Not too long ago, Denny Patton. Many of you know Denny Patton. And Denny was certainly a member of our family here at Christ Church at Grove Farm, a friend of Christ Church at Grove Farm, someone who we had a long partnership with ministry. And Denny suffered for a long time, 10 years, with cancer. And just about a year and a half ago, maybe about 2 years ago now, Denny came here to Christ Church to preach one last time. And his words, because we all knew that Denny had been suffering and he was considerably weakened at this point, there was a gravitas to what he brought to our worship that day. In fact, I remember what he talked about. Do you? He talked about investing your life for the kingdom of God, going all in with everything you've got. It was powerful. Well, how much more powerful? The closing remarks, the final teaching that Jesus provides for His followers. That's what we're going to look at here tonight. And Jesus, in this time, introduces two glorious truths, practices, emphases to the church. So let's go again, and as is our habit, you've heard David read the scripture. By the way, thank you, David Sad and College Career Team, for leading us in worship tonight. It's wonderful. You've heard David read the scripture. Let's go back to it again. Just a few verses here tonight. And let's look at this final interaction that Jesus has with His gathered followers before He goes to the cross. Again, I want to pick up in verse 30. I can't see. I'm getting old. I can't read the Bible here. I'm having trouble. I need to stand in the light. That is verse 33. Let's look at verse 33 in the Gospel of John, chapter 13. Jesus says this. He says, "My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me. And just as I told the Jews, so I now tell you, where I am going, you cannot come." I want to stop there. The very first words that Jesus says here in the passage I've just read to you, I think are so important. He says, "My children." In some translations, He says, "little children." What an incredibly tender way to address these men that have been following Him around for about 3 years, who've gone on adventures with Him, who've been subject to His teaching. What a profound way for Him to address them. "My children." Let me tell you, my wife Lisa and I have three daughters. And whenever I see any of our three daughters, I light up. I mean, when you see your kids, there's something about it that I still get excited when I see them. I can't help but smile. Okay, most of the time, I can't help but smile when I see those girls. Lisa knows what I'm talking about. We both feel the same way. You feel the same way about your kids, your grandkids, or there's someone in your life you feel that way about. And you know, when it comes to the kids, those girls, there's a part of me that's in them. That's a mystery. And then there's also a part of them that's in me. It's an interesting dynamic. And there's such a closeness there. They're so dear to me. My children. And when I see them, I light up. Think about this. Jesus refers to his followers. And I think it's entirely fair to extrapolate this out beyond the 12 disciples and to take this to you and me. He sees us as his children. How personal. How loving this is. This is his tone. You know, one of the things I really enjoy is being in the place here at Christ Church at Grove Farm and serving alongside of John Guest. That's a great privilege. And whenever someone asks me about John and how he's doing and what that's like, I always tell them, I say, listen, John is like my pastor, mentor, grandpa, and dad all wrapped into one. That's who he is to me. By the way, he's here tonight. He's very tan. I mean, he looks like a copper tone model if you see him tonight. It's unbelievable. You look good, John. And every once in a while when I'm with John, he will say to me something like, I love you, son. Or a pray in such a way that he says it. And whenever John says that to me, my heart leaps. John, that means a lot to me. Because it communicates a love, a deep love, an abiding love. Don't zoom past these little phrases. There's an intentionality here. And Jesus begins this address, his final remarks, by saying, little children, my kids, come here. I have something I want to show you. There's something I want to teach you. There's something I want to deposit in you that's going to be very, very important. And so we continue on in the text. And we see here that in verse 34, Jesus says, a new command I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. You know, this day is known as Maundy Thursday. Of course, this inspired the great hit by the Mamas and the Papas. Maundy, Maundy. You know that one? Dad joke, right? A dad joke. Yeah. Maundy Thursday. This comes from the Latin word mandatum. And that word means mandate. And so Maundy Thursday is a day when we remember the new mandate, the new command that Jesus gives his followers. And what is the new command? It is this simple sentence that we know well. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. This is his mandate. This is his command. And it's called a new mandate. It's called a new command. And you might say, well, what's new about this? Well, it's not new in the sense that it's never been heard before. If you know the Old Testament, you know, for instance, in the book of Leviticus, Leviticus 19. You know that God has instructed us to love our neighbors. This isn't like new in that sense, but here's what it's new in. It's new in the sense of it has a higher position now. Because Jesus, the Son of God, is communicating this to his followers, it holds a higher place in the kingdom. It also has a higher power backing it. This now is backed by the example of Jesus, who is about to go to the cross, where he will demonstrate fully the example of what love is. In fact, just before the words we're reading here tonight, he set the example even in that context, putting a towel around his waist, getting down on his knees, and washing the feet of the disciples. There's a newness. There's a depth to this command to love one another, to love according to the example of Jesus. And this is important. This is why we gather on Maundy Thursday, to remember the new command, the new mandate that Jesus has given to us. Now, make no mistake about these words. When we talk about the new command, the new mandate, and what Jesus says here, that everyone will know that you're my disciples if you love one another, this is not mincing words in any way. It's straight ahead. And what Jesus is saying, this, he's saying that love is to be the defining attribute of anyone who will follow him. He is saying that love is to be the brand identity of the Christian, a defining characteristic, the brand identity. This is how you know someone is a follower of Christ. It's a command. It's a mandate. You know, back to those girls that I talk about loving. You know, there's this thing that happens in my house like every day. Okay, so one of our daughters loves to eat salad. She prepares herself a salad, which is great. She's eating healthily, right? Problem is this. She eats about 60% of the salad. So number one, she's wasting our money. Thanks a lot, kid. Right? She's wasting our money. And then here's what she does when she's done. She takes that salad bowl with 60% of the lettuce gone, 40% still left, and she puts it in the sink. She turns on the faucet and she fills it up in water, so there's this disgusting bowl of wet lettuce with, you know, salad dressing left over and some soggy croutons floating in our sink. She will not put it in the dishwasher. Lisa, how many times have we told this girl to put this stuff in the dishwasher? We've told her, like, since she was 5. She will not listen. She thinks this is a suggestion. This is not a command. This is not a mandate. This is merely a suggestion. Something maybe she could do, she could take it or leave it, right? I think so many of us think about the words of Christ, we think about the teachings of the Scripture as if there's some suggestion. Jesus uses a word here, and the word is command. I give you, he's our leader. He's our authority. And he lays out a new command to his followers. And the command is love one another. And we're to love so much that the world would know, everyone would know, that we are followers of the Savior, followers of the Messiah, the Master. This is the degree which we love one another. And you might say, well, how do we do that? Well, I'll tell you this. It is not simply or merely a notion in our heads. Many of us hear this command and we're nodding our heads like we've heard it, right? We get it. But the disconnect is this. It's meant to be something that's lived out. It's not just a philosophy. The new command is something we are to flesh out in our relationships with one another. And this is hard because people disappoint us. People aggravate us. People let us down. People hurt us. We ourselves aren't right sometimes, and so we don't feel much like loving someone. But what Jesus has given us is a command, not something just in our heads, something we live out in our lives. You know, one of the things I enjoy most is whenever I hear of someone in our congregation who's been touched by the love of the church family here. There's been a couple people I've talked to in the past year, some who had cancer. And they were overwhelmed by the meals provided by our church, by the prayers, by the notes that were sent, by the phone calls. It's a great example of loving one another. And we need to put this into practice even more so. We want to be known as a church family that truly loves one another, that gets to know each other, that stands with each other, that walks with one another, that has each other's back whenever we go through difficult times. We've got to be that kind of people because there's a mandate for us to love one another. And I'll take it to this point too. It's not only that we would love one another, but that we would love other people. We know this is consistent with Jesus' command because he also tells us to love our neighbors ourselves. And so while we love the believers, we love the church family, We're also called to love those who don't know Jesus, who don't bow the knee to Him. This is also a difficult thing because we have disagreements. There are different philosophies. We live our lives in different ways. Jesus does not put any buts on the statement. The command is what it is. It's not conditional. He calls us to love one another, to be a people whose lives are marked by love. This is a very challenging statement, and it's incredibly important to the church. I just want to take you one more place as we finish up here, and that's to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I think the Apostle Paul says some things in 2 Corinthians 5, and we should pay attention to. It says, "For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all." Think about that. We're in the paces of the great week. One died for all. We are remembering the one who died for all of us. One died for all. And therefore, all died. Therefore, all died. We who trust in Christ have died with Him. We join in His death, and we also join in His life, His resurrection. He goes on, he says, "And He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for them and was raised again." What I want to point out to you, the very first words of that little section I've read to you, which say, "For Christ's love compels us." Christ's love compels us. How has Jesus loved you? Reflect on that. How has Jesus loved you specifically? Think about your life story. Think about your history. Think about your worst moments. How has Christ loved you? Think about your lowest moments. How Christ has loved us. Think about the times when you've been in agony and pain. How has Christ loved you? Think about times when you've been in rebellion. Oh, how He loves us. And He loves us even to the point of death. Hallelujah, what a Savior we have. What incredible love He's displayed. And this love of Christ compels us, is what the Scripture says. It compels us to live. Here's another way that that word's translated. The love of Christ controls us. Christ's love controls us. In other words, we're so wrapped up in it, we're so much in the grip of God, that it's like His love is the thing that makes our lives go. It's the thing that informs everything we do. The fact that He died on the cross and He's loved us in our lowest moments, in our most difficult times, and He's walked with us. He's called us His children. It compels us. It controls us. There are a lot of things that control people these days. There are a lot of things that control us. We could go through the list. Some are controlled by vices, alcohol, and various lusts. Some are controlled by hobbies that consume them. There's all manner of anything in this world that you allow to control. But those who serve Jesus, who love Him, who are compelled by the cross of Jesus, His extravagant love, well, they're in His grip. They're in His control. They're compelled by this love. And they're incredibly healthy in the sense that what controls them propels them to love people and fulfill the commandment that Jesus has given us on Mandate Thursday, the command to love one another. And so I'd ask you to consider all of this. Are you in His grip? The one who has demonstrated for us the highest degree of love. The one who gives us a new command. And not only puts it out on the table, backs it up with His life that He gives freely on the cross, born out of love for His children. Are you under His control? Are you compelled by His love? If so, then go and do likewise. Go and love and fulfill this great mandate, this great command that the Savior gives to us. Let's pray. Oh, Father in heaven, we thank You so much for Christ who loves us, who calls us His children. Thank You, Lord. Oh, Lord, help us to live up to this great command. We can't do it on our own. We can only do it through Christ in us. And so, Lord, help us to be a church, to be individuals who fulfill the command that Jesus gives us to love one another, compelled by His great love for us. This we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.